Good morning. Thank you for being here. It's good to see Brother Jerry and Sister Janelle visiting with us again. It's good to see you. It's been probably close to a year since the last time you were here. It's always good to have you. You know, the writer in the book of Hebrews warns us that we must give earnest heed to the gospel lest we drift away. The word there, earnest, in the Greek has the idea of much more, greater. We must give a greater heed to the gospel so that we simply do not drift away or slip away. A man by the name of J.D. Tant. He was born in 1861. He died in 1941. He is one of those that was alive during the Restoration Movement. He came out of the Methodist Church because he attended a gospel meeting. And that gospel meeting lasted about a month. And in that gospel meeting, he heard the gospel, and he obeyed the gospel. And he became a firebrand for teaching and preaching and writing. In the early part of the 20th century, he used to end his articles with this warning: "Brethren, we are drifting." That was not only true in his day, but I believe that it is also true for us living in the 21st century. You can look around the United States, and every congregation of the Lord, you can see a decline. We've seen it here. We've seen it in many other congregations in Indiana. Spiritual decline rarely happens suddenly. It happens gradually. The church in Ephesus was doctrinally sound, but spiritually, they were drifting. Paul, in the book of Ephesians, chapter 1 and verse 15, says, "Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints." Now, the book of Ephesians was written many years before John penned, through the guidance of the Holy Spirit, the book of Revelation. And through those years, from the time that Paul penned this epistle until the time the Apostle John penned the book of Revelation, these Christians, this church in Ephesus, had started to slip away. They started drifting. And in this particular verse, we can see here, he says, "Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus," their faith at this time was strong, "and love unto all the saints," the love for they had for their brethren was great. And then we read in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 17, "that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love." Loving all the saints, Ephesians 1 verse 15. Rooted and grounded in love, Ephesians 3 and verse 17. Then we read in Ephesians 4 and verse 2, "with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. Bear one another. And then we read in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 15. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things which is head, even Christ. And then we can look, first of all, in chapter 4 and verse 15, speak the truth in love. And then we look at verse 16. From whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth according to the effectual work in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Building up in love. And then in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 2, and walk in love. Literally, live in love. As Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. He wants them to love earnestly. Ephesians chapter Ephesians chapter 6, verse 23 and 24. Peace be to the brethren and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And in the Revelation chapter 2, in verse 5, we learned that the church at Ephesus had lost their first love. Jesus here does not merely diagnose the problem, he prescribes a cure. So this morning I want to examine Jesus' three-step process in renewing our love. The first thing is, as I have underlined here, remember. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 5. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent. And do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. You know, memories are quite powerful, are they not? Look at Luke chapter 15, verse 17. Most of you know what's being talked about here. And when he came to himself, you know, the prodigal son, who took his inheritance and went off into a far country, squandered his inheritance, ended up having to eat with the pigs, and then finally it says, and he came to himself. He said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? Can you imagine this man who had it made living with his father, and the father is representing God, but then he went off back into the world. He lost everything that he had and ended up wallowing in the mire of sinfulness. And then he came to himself and he remembered. Memory has a great power to help us to change. He said, he came to himself and said, how many hired servants my fathers have bread enough, and I starve. That was a powerful memory that caused him literally to think about what he had done and that he needed to change. Because if you read on, he says, I will go back and I will tell my father that I'm no longer worthy to be called thy son. Make me a servant. And we know what took place. Memories give us perspective. And also memories give us strength. We're not going to read, but if you want, you can read this for yourself. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 34 through 36. Here, David is remembering back when he was a lad. He's talking to King Saul. He's telling King Saul about the time that he battled a lion because it was harming the sheep. Then he told the time of the bear that he killed because it also was stealing and killing his sheep. Memories give us great strength. We remember what we used to be. You know, every day I remember the strength that I had in my youth, to where Dorothy and I and our two kids, we would go out into the woods every Saturday and cut dead elm trees and split them for firewood for the next week. Today I could probably barely start a chainsaw. Memories give us strength when we remember how it used to be in our lives. David, in 1 Samuel 17, he's remembering what he did as a youth. Now, I don't know anybody here. Has anybody here wrestled a lion or killed a bear? I've been bear hunting, but I didn't have to tangle with it. In fact, I didn't even see it. Memories gives us powerful strength when we remember how it once used to be. Memories cause us to long for the way things used to be. Now, for those that were raised their entire childhood and saw their parents grow old in the same house that they were born in, does not that home bring back powerful memories of youth and strength? We long for the way things used to be. God wants us to remember the joy, the security, the fellowship, the hope that we once had. Think about when we first became Christians, how on fire we truly were. But yet as the years drug on, just as the Ephesians in Revelation chapter 2, verses 1 through 5, that we let things kind of slip. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen. Remember how it used to be. Then he tells them to repent. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent. Don't stay where you are right now. Remember those things that once was, how you once truly had joy and security and fellowship and hope. Maybe we need to repent. Whatever it was that caused them to drift away from where they once were, they needed to repent. And brothers and sisters, as J.D. Tant said, brethren, we're drifting. The psalmist sought spiritual renewal through repentance. Psalms 51 verse 3, for I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. I acknowledge my transgression. My sin is always before me. The writer here is basically saying, I have no excuses. I cannot blame anyone but myself. I take full responsibility. Isn't that what he's saying? I acknowledge my transgression. I have no excuses for what I've done. I can put no blame on anyone but myself. I am responsible. Just as each and every Christian in Ephesus that John writes about in Revelation chapter 2, verses 1 through 5, every Christian in that congregation was told to repent because they had drifted away and lost their first love. Remembering alone will not bring about renewal. Simply remembering, well, I remember how it used to be, but you know, things are different today. No, they're not. Yes, we've all gotten older. But have we lost our first love? Remembering alone will not bring about renewal. We must also repent and rearrange our priorities. Is Christ, God, the church, your first priority? Or is it somewhere down toward the bottom of the list? And then we need to redo. Remember, as a kid playing a game of whatever, and you didn't quite accomplish whatever it was you was trying to do in the game, and you always holler out, a redo. Notice what is said here. Revelation, again, chapter 2 and verse 5. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works. There, brothers and sisters, is the redo. Do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and I will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. You know, when John wrote this to the church at Ephesus, this was not directed at one or two people. This was directed to the whole congregation, that they needed to do the first works. They needed to remember. They needed to repent and redo what they once did. Jesus doesn't want us to merely feel the way we once felt. That's not doing any good. Jesus simply does not want us to feel how we once felt. Feeling is not doing. Again, Jesus does not want us to merely feel the way we once felt, but to do the things we once did. All right, let's quickly. What are some of the things that we first did? Once we served, didn't we? We served not only God, but one another. We need to start again serving as we once served. And then we need to pray how we once prayed. You know, many times, you know, after we've prayed for so many years, we kind of let things slip a little bit, do we not? We're not quite as aggressive in our prayers. And here's a big one. Study. Study as you once studied. You remember when you first become a Christian, you could not get enough of reading the Bible. You wanted to know every detail. But today, how many of us even pick our Bibles up? Yeah, we might show up for Bible class, but do you bring a Bible? And lastly, love as you once loved. Serve as we once served. Pray as we once prayed. Study as we once studied. And love as you once loved. Spiritual renewal is not a great mystery. It's a clear path that Jesus summed up in one verse. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 5. Repent, and redo. Those are the three steps that's clearly laid out in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 5. Can we see ourselves in Revelation chapter 2, verses 1 through 5? Granted, this was, you know, penned to the church at Ephesus. But in reality, I believe it's penned to every congregation of the Lord's church in today's world. Brethren, we drift. Let us remember, repent, and do the first works. This morning, if you're here, if you're in need of prayer, or you need to be baptized and have your sins washed away, we'd ask that you'd come as we stand and sing the song of invitation.
Jesus is there.